First reading this morning is from the 119th Psalm. Go and open your Bibles there. 119th Psalm. We've all heard the phrase. One of those things you hear it so often you've forgotten how long or where you first heard it. But the statement that you see in one of those little blurbs every now and then. Reputation is what people think you are. Character is what you really are. And we think about that. We hear that phrase all the time. But if there's any truth to that at all, character is what you are. Then that leads to the question, what exactly are we? If character is what we are, what does that make us? What does our character make us? And can we improve it? Can we work on that? Or is that something that is up to us? Do we have any say in it at all? That's what I want us to look at today and remind ourselves and look at some points we can look concerning that. Definition of character, an accumulation of qualities that distinguish us from another. An accumulation of qualities, which means that it's not just some single trait, but it's this sum total of traits. We hear the phrase all the time, characteristics, characteristics. What's the root word of characteristics? It's character. It's our characteristics that the sum total of all of that is what leads to our character. It's those sum total of those characteristic traits that define who we are. There was a poet. If I could remember his name, you would recognize. I just can't pull it off the top of my head right now. But there was a poet in one of his poets, one of those long things, with a lot of stanzas. But in the midst of one of the stanzas was the phrase, "I'm the captain of my soul." Think about that a second. I'm the captain of my soul. When you first hear it, it almost has an arrogant tone to it, doesn't it? I'm the captain. But then you think about it a little bit deeper. Who is the captain? God has given us things. He has made us stewards. He has given us physical blessings. And says, here's what I want. And then we basically captain it, don't we? He doesn't force us. Doesn't put a gun to the head. He's given us things, and then we become the captain of how we use it. The Bible describes it as being a steward. We are in charge of another's possessions. Well, think about character traits. God has given us things that He wants, things He wants us to be, and then He just lets us go. So although there is that statement, I'm the captain of my soul, there is this hint of maybe overstepping some grounds there. But if you're not the captain of your soul, who is? If you and I are not the captain of our character, who is? Because nobody can force us. God can, but doesn't. And no one else can. So what are we going to do with that? This is not, as we do from time to time, this is not a character study. No, what we're going to do today is a study of character, if that makes any sense. We're going to just study about character and hopefully give some tips of how we can improve ours. That's the goal. What can we do to develop and maintain, and not just develop and maintain, but improve who we are? Because if reputation is what people think and character is what we really are, then what can we do to improve what we really are? That's the point. That's the method. Let's get into it. Psalm 119. The first thing we've got to do if we want to improve our character is we've got to let God have His say. You remember Genesis 1? On the first day, God created. Second day, God went to work. Third day, God went to work. Fourth day, God built. God created. God worked. And at the end of those, He said, this is good. He has never lost that right. He has never lost that privilege. He is the definer of what is good, and therefore, He's also the definer of what would be evil. Let Him tell us what good character traits are. Let Him tell us what good is when it comes to these things that make us up. 119th Psalm tells us how we can do that. Look in verse 9. How shall a young man cleanse his way? Now that's a different phrase. That's a paraphrase. But that's kind of what we're looking at today, isn't it? The psalmist says, how can we become clean? How can the young person become what we ought to be? How can we remove the filth from our life? How can we remove the evil and replace it with something else? How can we cleanse our way? Verse 9, by taking heed to your word, let him have his say. He decides what's good. He has told us what is good. Don't ever forget that. Let's not ever forget that he is the definer of it. This might be a problem with us. Verse 9, how can the young cleanse his way? By taking heed according to the word. Well, that makes a lot of sense, right? Verse 9. Now drop down to verse 11. The word which can cleanse us, remember? Thy word I have laid up in my heart. Maybe there's a problem. Because all too often, we're laying it up on the bookcase. All too often, we're taking the word and laying it up on the coffee table and we pick it up twice a week as we're heading out the door. Maybe here's a problem. God gets to define what's good. Verse 9, our prayer is that we're going to take heed to that word. We're going to have to lay it up. We're going to have to lay it up in our heart. We're going to have to not just let him tell us what's good, but we've got to know what he has told us is good. So let's start with that. He defines good character traits because he is the definer of good in every realm. He is the origin of good. Genesis 1, it was good. He gets to decide it then. He gets to decide it now. So let's start with him. Okay? So he has told us what's good, right? Now we got to know ourselves. We've got to know who we are. Turn back to the 15th Psalm. I couldn't remember what poet it was that made that statement earlier. But Aristotle is the one who made the statement, know thyself. Know thyself. As easy as that sounds, all too often we know a lot about a lot except ourselves. We know a lot about fixing cars. We know a lot about fishing. We know a lot about ball teams. We know a lot about sewing and stitching. We know a lot about our favorite writers. And we know a lot about a lot. Except ourselves. We don't know we don't honestly assess. We are blind to faults. We know everything except who we are. Psalm 15, verse 1, Lord, who will abide in your tabernacle? That's a question we want to know, right? Whatever the answer to that is, we better know it because we want to abide there. This whole psalm is David basically describing citizens of the kingdom. Who will abide in the tabernacle? Who will dwell in your holy hill? Whatever the answer is, we want. Verse 2, the one who walks uprightly, the one who works righteousness, the one that speaks the truth in his heart. Make that a personal application. Am I truthful about my very own self within my heart? Or again, what we can do, we can see the faults so clearly in others, we can't see our own. We can see how this person needs to improve their character, but we don't know ourselves. We can see their weaknesses. We can see what they need to do. We can't see our own traits that are faulty. We've got to let God tell us what's right. And then we've got to see and know where we are. Because we can't get where we want to be if we don't first know where we're starting from. Could you imagine somebody, I'll use me as an example. You can put your own description there. Somebody calls up out of the blue and says, how do we get to the 4th Street building? We're in town for the holidays. We're going to worship with you tomorrow. How do you get there? And I just, with the very next breath, I said, okay, here's how you get there. You're going to go out your driveway and take a left. You're going to go about a half a mile to a stop sign and take a left. You're going to go a quarter of a mile to the red light and take a left. You're going to cross the interstate and go three more red lights and take a left. Well, if they're starting at my house, they'll get here. If they're starting anywhere else in this universe, they will not get there. If you go left out of your driveway and go a half a mile and take another left, some of you are in the cow pasture. Some of you might be close to Smith Lake. You're in the water. Some of you are now heading completely the opposite direction. You see the problem? God can tell us how to get where we need to be, But we are all starting from different places. I hope every one of us in this room wants to improve in our character. We want to improve in who we are. But we're starting from all kinds of places. Because there are people who've been a Christian 60 years here. There are Christians who've been a Christian less than a year here. We're starting from all kinds of places. We all started from a bunch of places this morning too, but we all got here. Coming from different places, we got here. If you know where you're starting, we can know where we're going to get. God defines what good is. And now from wherever it is we are at, know yourself. Know myself. Know what I have to work on. We're going to make some applications about this in just a little bit. But personal integrity is exactly that, personal. And it's all of us start from our different places. Let God tell us where to go. Know where we're starting. And then slowly, let's start building this stuff up. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll look there in just a moment. But this would be the wonderful thing. The wonderful thing would be that just in the blink of an eye, all at once, we become exactly who and what God wants us to be. That'd be wonderful. This is not the howdy-doody hour. That would be wonderful, but it's not reality. That's just a pipe dream. We all know that that's not the way it works. Holiness is not something that is suddenly developed. It's the piecing together of small bits. It's the piecing together of habits here and of there. It's those characteristics that slowly over time we develop, we work, we polish, but it's possible. And when you look at some of the descriptions that Peter, through inspiration, wrote down for us, it's very, very humbling. Look in 1 Peter chapter 5. This is the goal. And don't try to water it down. Let's just take it for what it says. 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm sorry, I've got you in the wrong spot. Get my verses and chapters mixed up. 1 Peter 1, verse 15. I'm sorry for the confusion. 1 Peter 1, verse 15. As he has called you is holy, so you be holy in all manner of living. You know what we can do in 30 seconds? We can just destroy it. Oh, you know, that's a call. But there's really nothing no reality about it. Because God is deity and we're flesh and we can't become. What did he say? Don't brush it off. Don't try to water it down. What did he say? He said, I'm holy and I expect you to be holy. I expect you to be like me. Turn to the second letter. 2 Peter 1. So we're going from 1 Peter 1 to 2 Peter 1. The introduction of basically both letters. And as Peter's introducing this second concept, the second theme in this letter, here's what he says in verse 4. 2 Peter 1 verse 4, whereby it has been given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. We're thankful about that, right? We're excited and fired up about those promises. But what's the responsibility that comes with it? It has been given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Don't wash it away. Don't water it down. And don't brush it off. We are expected to take on divine character traits. I'm holy. I expect you to be holy. I've made great promises to you. Thereby, you take on divine character traits. This is what's expected of us. And that's a humble thing. And so let's not pretend. None of us are even going to try to pretend that it happens overnight. It doesn't happen overnight. But it can happen. It's expected to happen. Slowly taking on these traits of God. Traits that will define us. Characteristics that will set us apart from a world of darkness. That's what God expects of us. It shows the importance, by the way, just an aside, shows the importance of our thoughts, shows the importance of our actions. Because the more in control our thoughts and actions become,
That's how our character is changed. That's how slowly it does. Isaiah talked about a little here and a little there. He was not talking about character traits. But can we take that phrase? Little here and a little there. Let's get a little better today. Let's get a little better as this week starts anew. A little better this week. A little better this month. As one year ends and another begins, a little better in the upcoming year. Let that be the aim. Let that be the goal. We've been called to be holy. And no matter where we're starting, we can each get a little closer to that. And so trying to build from one principle to the next, God has defined it for us. We got to know where we are, where we're beginning in those. And then from where we are, know thyself. And then from there, I've got to work on this. And I've got to get better at this. And I've got to really start concentrating on this one. And a little bit here. A little bit there. Slowly we begin accumulating these things. Who can help us? People who have them. Look at the next point. Let's expose ourselves to these type traits. Turn to Hebrews 10. Observation and association with those who have these traits can speed up the accumulation process. Remember, a little here and a little there, but just for instance, imagine that we know ourselves. We know what our weaknesses are. And here's a person who has a strength in that very thing. What I am weak in, you are strong in. Remember, we're all starting in different places. And the very thing that some people struggle with daily, they get up every day and it is a fight for this personal, this temptation and this stumbling block. And that doesn't bother you at all. Then there are others that you struggle with. It doesn't affect them. Can we not learn from each other? Don't we need one another? And so as we go about this a little here and a little there, as we go about this gradual accumulation of character traits, the more we associate ourselves with people who have them, they influence us. And they influence us for good. And countless scriptures mentions that. Our need for our brethren. Look in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. We have a role. Let us provoke one another to love and to good works. Look at this next phrase. And by the way, it is the next phrase, not the next sentence. It's a continual thought here. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. If me and you were writing this out the way we have kind of gotten it in our mind, we would think that the verse would go something like this. Do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, because you're going to miss out on the preaching. That's not what it says. Don't forsake, because you have a responsibility to your brethren. Verse 24, consider one another. Provoke one another. Verse 25, exhort one another. And we can't do that if we are not together. Hence, he said, don't forsake. You got to get together because you need one another. Can't provoke who you don't see. Can't exhort who you don't see. Can't encourage to love and good works those you don't see. You know the flip side of that? They can't do it to you either. You can't be provoked. You can't be exhorted properly. You can't be encouraged to good works and to love. We need one another. Look at another example. Turn back a few pages to 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4. Old preacher writing to a young preacher. And in verse 12, here's the admonition to him. 1 Timothy 4:12, let no man despise your youth, but you be an example of the believers in word, in manner of life. There's your character. There's your character traits, right? In your word, in your manner of life, in your love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. You be an example. Why would that be necessary? Because examples matter. Examples matter. We can all look back in our life. We have had this in our life. Thanks be to God. Me and you have our own personal Timothys that were examples to us in word, don't we? We love them. We thank God they came into our life. We know people, not named Timothy, but they were our example in manner of life, in their love, in their spirit, in their faith, in their purity. We know people who were our examples in these very things. They matter. You know what our call is? We're to be that example. People ought to be able to say the same thing about us. Our character, we're trying to build it, we're trying to improve it. It can be improved by those who have it. And so let's know ourselves. And then we know our weaknesses, and others can help us. Others can build us along these things. And now one thing before we start making applications of it. Connect this to our hope. Here's the easy thing to think. We can hear something like this, and nobody would deny that it's important, but it just goes way back on the back burner. It doesn't really become a priority. Connect this building of character, this improving of character, connect it to our spiritual hope. Because here's our hope. What we're looking for is an eternal crown. What we're looking for is a heavenly home. And that's what makes this important. We've got to see the importance of our effort because hope will keep us focused. So here's what I want us to do. Let's take all of this and now put it into one text. Turn to 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1. And let's look at how this can all fit together. It's just a matter of a paragraph. Second Peter 1. We're going to start where we left off. Verse 4. Second Peter 1, verse 4. It has been given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, and that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in this world through lust. And besides this, so here we go. Here's what I expect y'all. I've given you promises. I want you to be partakers of divine nature. Let's let God tell us what some good character traits are. What would God say is good in our life? Besides this, give all diligence and add to your faith virtue. Add to your virtue knowledge. Add to your knowledge temperance. Add to your temperance patience. Add to your patience godliness. Add to your godliness brotherly kindness. And to your brotherly kindness love. God has told us what is good. God has told us what He wants. Here are some of the traits. Here are some characteristics God wants. So let's let God define what good is, okay? Know thyself. Let's know where we're starting at. Maybe temperance is a problem. Maybe self-control is a problem. Maybe perseverance is a problem. Maybe brotherly kindness is a problem. Maybe moral virtue, moral excellence. Maybe that is a problem. Know thyself. Here's what God wants. And every one of us in here who has a pulse is better at some of these than others. But God didn't say, it's not one of those things you can replace it. It's not like you can go to Burger King and say, I want this. I don't want any pickles, but I want extra onions. I don't want any ketchup, but give me twice as much mustard. You can't have twice as much of this and completely blacken in another one. God wants all of these in our life. And you can't interchange them, and you can't double up on one and be missing in another. Know thyself. What is it I'm lacking? What is it I've got to get serious about? I've got to know where I'm starting from. Here's what God wants. Here's what He calls good. Where am I? Where are you? Where are we starting? And then when we look at this, and we could look at other lists as well. But just zeroing in on this one, since it's where we are. Am I working at it? It doesn't happen overnight. But these weaknesses that I've got, can I start now? A little here, a little there. accumulating what it is that I'm lacking? What if I'm around people who haven't? I've got a problem with patience. I've got a problem with perseverance. And I put myself around people who have been faithful through the years. Can I not learn from them? I've got a problem with self-control. And yet there are people who, before they act, they always take a deep breath. Before they respond, they always kind of get the view of the surface. And they seem to always have the right statement. They never fly off the handle. Can I learn from them? Can others help me along these lines? What about connecting it to our hope? Drop down to verse 10. Let's look at this one. Drop down to verse 10. Therefore, rather, brethren, give diligence and make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, if you do these things, what things? Add these character traits. If you do these things, you will never fall. Written by Peter through inspiration. And Peter is a man who knows a thing or two about falling, doesn't he? He knows what he's talking about. He has fallen, and we've got record of it. When you and I are in the moment practicing self-control, we're going to sin or will we not? If you and I are in the moment practicing brotherly kindness, we're going to behave in a way we ought not? If you and I are in the moment practicing moral excellency, are we going to fall? What he's saying is, while we're practicing these things, we will not stumble. And then it goes on in verse 11, for an entrance will be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Connect our character traits to our hope. The Holy Spirit did. If you do these things, verse 11, there is an abundant entry into everlasting life. That's the so what about these. That's why this is so important. And the beautiful thing for those of us that have been redeemed is that we have an advantage. And the advantage is a new beginning can start right now. Because of cleansing power of Christ's blood, because of the relationship that God hears in our prayers, and He's promised to forgive us when we come to Him in a repentant spirit, we can start right now. Because we know ourselves, we know our weaknesses, and we're going to get better. We're going to start accumulating better. We're going to become a better example. We're going to put ourselves around better examples. We're going to be mindful of the role our character plays in eventual eternal life somewhere. And we're going to start with a clean slate. If we fail in this, if this doesn't become an issue to us, we never really worry about our character traits or improving on it or building on it. What will happen in time is we're going to have a distorted view about what's important in our life. It's going to happen, just a matter of when and how quickly. But if we're going to have an emphasis issue, because things are going to matter more than they ought to matter. So this plays an important role in our development, important role in our spiritual life. And so the invitation, I guess, today is for you and I to begin working to develop a character on earth here that makes a difference, so that we can become that example Timothy was admonished to be. With the full recognition, remember, we're going to connect it to our hope. A character that doesn't just matter here, but has complete determination on where we're going to spend eternity. It's going to matter there too. Get your songbooks out. Know thyself. Have you been washed? Have you been forgiven? Are you a child of God as God defined it? He gets to define what's good. He gets to define who His children are too. He gets to define how sins are forgiven. He's done that. Know thyself. Have you done the things necessary that can lead to forgiveness of sins? Have you through faith believed? You let that belief lead you to confession of Christ as your Lord, your Master. You take an advantage of His sacrifice. Having repented of your sins that caused Him to die, being baptized to wash them away. Take advantage of that. If you have in the past, but we know ourselves more than we'd even want to admit. And we're weak and we've not been what we ought to be. It's called forgiveness. It's called repentance. You can do it at the seat. And right now, we make a new commitment. The accumulation begins. The knowing ourselves begins. And we're connecting it to our hope and taking advantage of the exceedingly great and precious promises. We're going to begin adding divine character traits to us. Do it while we stand and sing.